Good morning. It is 9:09 and a beautiful 65. I'm Larry Long, and welcome to Over the Garden Fence with your host, gardening expert Andy Waddell. Over the Garden Fence is brought to you by Waddell's Nursery Florist and Garden Center at the corner of Milam and 12th Street. And now let's welcome your host for Over the Garden Fence, Andy Waddell. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, Larry. How are you?
Good. Beautiful day.
Man, 65? Going to be up to the 80s?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Beauty.
Gotta
beauty.
Like it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think, Larry, one of my better days to go outside, for sure. Not much rain in the forecast?
No, not today.
Not hot, not cold, just about perfect.
Today is perfect, yeah. Tomorrow it's going to get a little warmer, but today, enjoy.
That's nice. Well, Larry, I don't know if we can dig into some notes, and maybe I could do a little invite to our guest, too, today.
So let's do that.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and I thank you for joining us, Larry and I, for another edition of Over Garden Fence. And, last night, I sat outside late last night looking at the bright white moon, and no, it wasn't quite a full moon, but contemplating and adding a little tidbits to my notes for the radio show this morning. The moon made just the clouds just kind of shiny bright and just brought a crispness in the air that reminds me of how fast our seasons change. Though the weather this week is supposed to be in the 90s, you know what? It's Michigan. Fall's coming soon. Actually, my toes were even a little chilly last night, which actually was a nice little break. With this weather just being so beautiful today, like I told Larry, I'd love to invite you all to our first annual community garage sale and like flea market out in our parking lot today from 9 to 3. Come see what the community has to sell, as well as Waddell's booths out in the parking lot, ranging from antiques to plants, from fountains to statuary, scratch and dent, one of a kind, from shade trees to tools to bird supplies to bird feeders, fertilizers, furniture, houseware, all kinds of accessories, apparel, and it's all going to go quick. It's there till 3:00 today. I think there's a total of 16 vendors out there, and we'll be doing some grilling out there from friends of ours, Trey and Kim Warren, from Off the Cuff Catering, and be grilling on our new Primo line of grills, and offering little mini brats, and Larry, little veggie burger. They grill, and it's not like a soy burger.
No,
but
I've had good ones, yeah.
You grill a sweet potato, and then you put a little fennel on it, and not too bad.
No.
So, and they're only a buck. So, and a great discount, grill discounts today, and also with our discount with our grills, we're offering free delivery and installation today on those grills. So come on over, have some savings and a fun all-in-one. And Larry, I kind of sound like an ad there, but
nothing wrong with that.
And not trying to be. So, you know what? It's a wonderful day out. And this week we have been working. A lot of landscaping has been coming in people's minds just with how nice the weather's been. It is, you got to admit, when it's 100 degrees, Larry and I were just saying, last year, you go outside for a few minutes, kind of melt, go back inside, try to survive. Well, this year, it's so nice to be out in the 60s to the 80s weather, and just a lot of things that is maybe can be done this time of year. So did you know that Waddell's Garden Center has over 37 kinds of ornamental grasses that could actually enhance every garden or landscaping at your home?
I didn't know there were that many.
That's a lot of
Yeah.
Most ornamental grasses have 12-month benefits. The ones that we sell are perennial form. There's only a couple annual forms we sell. From blues, greens, variegated, cream, chartreuse, red. All these foliages anchor and have great beauties with plumes of yellow, cream, red, and white shooting upward. Some of our newer varieties include Panicum Prairie Fire. It's a breakthrough ornamental grass with a deep wine red foliage nearly every summer, very similar to the annual purple fountain grass. But guess what? It's hardy for our climate, maturing at about 4 to 5 foot. Got a small pot? have a small area on the deck that you can't get anything to keep growing, why don't you try a grass? Ornamental grasses are easy, can take a lot of winter, and sometimes survive very nicely in a pot above ground. Try a couple new varieties that are compact and dwarf, adding to your winterscape. Try Little Kitten, a new little dwarf variety of Miscanthus, maturing under 3 foot tall, providing flowers similar to pampas grass, but without the height. Need some color? How about Northern Lights with a pink, green, and white foliage, maturing at about 24 to 36 inches tall? Need some wow factor? How about a Little Zebra or Super Stripe? These are great new varieties of zebra grass that provide a splash of color without needing, kind of zebra grass when it gets older. It's a 6 to 7 foot grass, gets kind of floppy on you and kind of bends over. Sometimes in the snow, it can't hold its load up. And so these little varieties are a little more compact and more contained, so they look nice for winterscaping. One of my little favorites right now is a little sedge from the Carex family called Prairie Fire Sedge Grass. Its orange-colored foliage matures only about 12 to 15 inches, complement any landscaping. Or at the other end, need some height? Try a Miscanthus gigantus that's 12 to 14 foot that provides some screening, privacy, or any backdrop with any perennial garden. So just a couple examples of grasses that we have at the Garden Center.
All right, we got some calls.
Oh,
let's go to the phones.
We can do that real quick.
We have Larry out in Pawpaw. Good morning.
Hey, Larry, how are you?
Yeah, good morning, Andy.
Thanks for calling in.
Yeah. Hey, I this spring I planted 8 Carpathian, I think it is, walnut, the English walnuts,
Yes, sir.
Small ones. And one of them has a yellowish-red, I call it a gall, growth under the on the leaves, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what would that be?
Yep, Larry, most galls are a result of a wasp. And believe it or not, gall usually gets stung. Oak and maples and walnut can get that fairly easy. It is something you can control with a systemic insect control. Down the road, Larry, that's going to be many, many years before you eat off those walnuts. I know, being small, my dad's got some, and they're, 8-inch trunks, and they're probably 25 to 30 years old at least, so it takes a while. So you could put the systemic insect control to keep them under control. Douse the ground, mix it with water, have the plant drink it up, and that would provide that control for that. There are certain wasps that will sting the foliage, and galls range from round to, like you said, you had a reddish cast on yours?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And is it on the trunk or is it on the foliage?
No, it's on the foliage.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yep. And Larry, there's nothing you can do right now. You want to do that in the early spring. You want to get that plant to drink that up, so then that becomes has some resistance to that once that starts developing. When you see that, it's already too late to control.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And then how often do you have to use the ground spray?
Yep.
Every year?
Well, you want to get it under control, but really once that starts getting of a size, Larry, so it's got some maturity, I would probably pass, because that is not going to be something for edibles at all. There's a fruit and citrus control for systemic, Larry, but I'd have to make sure on the Carpathian walnuts, if you want to hang on the line and we could get your number from you. But the regular Fertilome systemic insect control you can use for a number of years. And then when you start seeing a mature size, if you held off a season or two, then after that you could go ahead and eat that fruit off the plant once it starts maturing. But I bet you have a long time before that happens.
Yeah, I don't think I'll even be here when it happens.
And Larry, it's a soil drench. You just take a 5-gallon bucket, mix it with water, and soak it around the little plants.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, thanks for the information.
Okay.
For sure what it was. Okay, thank you.
You bet.
All right.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks for the call. Now we have John from one of my favorite towns up in Hastings. Oh. Hi, John.
Hey, John. How's your morning? Thanks for waiting.
Good. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah. How can
I
be of help?
A friend of mine gave me some onion sets. He called them multipliers.
Mm-hmm.
And they're drying down, but the sets are tipping over, hitting the ground. Do they? So he gave me the set, so I fixed the spot and made a little trench through the sets in there and covered them up.
Mm-hmm.
That's the right way to do it?
Yep. And how deep did you put them?
Oh, maybe inch and a half, two.
Yeah. And how big were those onions when you planted them? Small little things?
Yeah, well, different size, from marble size to pea size.
Yeah.
Know.
Yeah. So
and then they come on early in the spring, you got green onions to eat, right?
Yep. But what I do is make sure, and mulch those or straw those for the winter, John.
Oh.
Yeah. You want just that, like parsnips, you want to make sure and cover those if you're trying to have those go all winter. Even those are hardy. That way you don't get winter heave on them.
Yeah.
You know, being just a shallow.
And then each year, if I keep the grass and weeds out, I'll have onions there.
You
got to leave some for seed, right?
Leave some for seed, or you can always lift them up and dry them and replant them every year. I don't know if the multipliers, you know, it's like a plant. As it starts maturing, John, it starts fading off. So sometimes lifting them and resetting them, you'll get, instead of one mother plant getting a whole bunch of babies, you split them up, and that way it might multiply easier, and you get better production off that.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for the information.
Hey, John, thanks for calling in.
Thanks for the call, John.
You bet. Well, it's nice.
Yeah.
You like Hastings up there?
I used to live there and just love that town.
Yeah.
It's just beautiful.
It is. It is a pretty little area.
Mm-hmm.
Up in Nashville and up in that Hastings area. You bet. I used to go to camp up in there when I was a kid up there. So.
Okay.
So, Larry, if you want, when we come back, I can maybe go over more things that we could dig into. And we're talking about ornamental grasses, but more in the landscaping.
All right, let's do just that. If you have a question for Andy this morning, give us a call, 382-4280, or toll free, 877-382-4280, over the garden fence. We'll be right back.
The lawn experts at Woodell's want you to know that now's a great time to repair thin or bare spots in your lawn or install a new one. And now, during their lawn improvement sale, Woodell's three best grass seed blends are on sale, including Woodell's disease-resistant Supreme Sunny Lawn Seed at just $6.27 for a two-pound bag, and City Mix Grass Seed for high-traffic areas is just $4.89 for a two-pound bag. Woodell's grass seed is sold in bulk, so you can get just the right amount you need. Before putting in your grass seed or sod, be sure to bring in a 6x6-inch sod sample to Woodell's for free soil analysis and lawn improvement program. If you're not sure what your lawn needs, Woodell's lawn pros are always glad to help you choose the right products. They'll even test your soil's pH. If it needs correcting, Woodell's has easy-to-spread pelletized lime on sale for just $4.58. Be sure to put on starter fertilizer when planting your grass seed for better germination and deeper rooting. Max Lawn Starter Fertilizer is on sale for $10.69 for the 5,000-square-foot bag. Woodell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center, helping to green Southwest Michigan for 67 years, is on Texas Drive at the corner of Millman 12th Street.
And we are back. It is 9:22, a beautiful 66 degrees. Once again, your host for Over the Garden Fence, Andy Woodell.
Thank you, Larry. And Larry, can I comment on
sure.
the last call
sure.
from John?
Absolutely.
I'm sorry, from Larry on the Carpathian walnuts.
Mm.
When I was a kid, our last at our farm in Kalamazoo, somewhere on the property at the Woodell's farm on Angling Road was Carpathian walnuts and butternut. So my uncles used to collect them and kind of stash them.
Mm.
So they'd be in the break room, and that for little kids, you weren't supposed to get in there. And I remember sneaking in there and
of course
stealing a few walnuts and cracking them open. And so, you know, that was when maybe walnuts were a cool thing to come up into and eat. So, you know what, earlier, everybody, we were talking about ornamental grasses and all the new series that are coming on those. I also wanted to talk to you about something you guys already know, is that the butterfly bush. Butterfly bush is just growing leaps and bounds as far as new varieties. There's new mounding varieties that are compact, and a lot of butterfly bush some of the older varieties tend to reseed, so sometimes you get a lot of seed inside of your eaves troughs and some of your gardens. Well, now we're getting very prolific, sterile flowers and a lot of dwarf varieties. And with the ball seed introductions, we're talking about the Flutterby series. Flutterby includes Petite Snow White, Petite Blue Heaven, and Petite Tutti Frutti. Super cool varieties, dainty white flower on the Snow White. butterfly bush, the blue heaven, and the tutti frutti. You can just only imagine which color that is. But we can go to that and go to the phone. A lot of callers coming in.
Yes, there are. And let's go up to Otsego, my old alma mater. Hi, Sharon.
Hey. Hello, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. I have a question on sunflowers.
Mm-hmm.
My granddaughter planted a bunch of seeds all over my yard, and I have sunflowers all over the yard. What would be the proper way to dry them out?
Yep. And, Sharon, have you seen the flower is at maturity right now, and the petals are bright yellow on the outside tips. Am I correct?
That's right.
Okay, so the tip, when that flower petal starts falling to the ground, you know some of that seed is going to start maturing. At that point, then I would cut those heads and hang them in the garage. Because if you let them hang, yes, they'll dry on the stalk itself, but your birds and all the wildlife's going to get to them. So I've seen my grandfather used to take them in groups of four and five, rope some rope around some of the heads itself and hang them up in the rafters. Let them dry so then after a while you can either take a head at a time and just put it out by the bird feeder, or you can shuck it into bags afterwards and put them out in bird feed during the winter. Okay, the idea is you know that flower, when it kind of realizes that it's spent, it's really the seed you're after, and that's the center part of the plant. A lot of perennials do the same thing. The flower falls away, the plant starts maturing and going back dormant. Same with the sunflower. When you see that petal start falling, that's when I'd go ahead and pick her.
Oh, thank you so very much.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for the call, Sharon. Now we have Jim in Schoolcraft. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning.
Hey. Hi, Jim. How are you today?
I'm fine. I got two questions.
Yes, sir.
I had some rhubarb starts, and they're growing really good.
Okay.
And I guess they came from Ireland 100 years ago and got passed down.
Oh,
anyway,
neat.
What will I do to cover them, and will they be harvestable in the next spring?
Okay. Yep. On rhubarb first. And they are put in the ground. Is this year number one for them?
Yes.
Okay. So next year, go light on your harvesting. They always say start this up in about thirds. First year being a third. Second year, do a little bit lighter. Third year, you'll start seeing your heavy production. So I would myself is to put them to sleep. This fall, I would love to do like a little bone meal on them or a little Espoma plantone. The Espoma plantone won't burn the plant, but can I ask this? You probably got a lot of pretty green foliage right now still.
Yes.
Yeah, so let that, if you got old mother foliage that's gotten quite large and mature, you can always trim some of that back right now, and that's going to encourage crown. We want to develop that crown, the big foliage you don't like anyway. So clean that off. Let some of that. You still got late August, so you're going to see some development if you clean that back right now. About the middle of October, even the third or fourth week in October, then you could start putting them to sleep. I want to make sure you get many heavy frosts before you mulch them. Mm-hmm. But you could put down a Espoma plantone and a couple maybe 2 cups or 3 cups of steamed bone meal in the row, or maybe a half cup on to a cup on each plant. Till it in, and then go ahead and either top dress with cedar shavings, cedar mulch, lawn clippings mixed with straw, something that will compact but allowing the plant to come up through in the springtime. I like to mulch them too, especially, Jim, for the first year so they don't get frost heave. And I know rhubarb is a deep root anyways, but it's nice to keep the roots frozen for the wintertime instead of leaving them bare ground.
And the second question is, I've 2 years in a row, I've had tomato plants, and they got beautiful bushes on them, but they just have a few little dinky tomatoes on. They just don't seem to be getting any good tomatoes in two years in a row. And I water them good, and I fertilize good, I thought.
Okay.
Do you have any ideas?
Yep. So, Jim, do you know what your fertilizer is? That'd be my first starters. If you are putting down a higher nitrogen, then maybe you should, because being a succulent, maybe it is pushing out too much energy and putting all the energy into the plant itself and not into the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
There is a food. I was going to get to my notes today. In there is, and we can talk about it right now. Prune I was going to say to folks today, prune your tomato. And that sounds absolutely funny, but open the plant up if you can make the plant breathe better and get to the sunlight to the tomato itself. Jim, a lot of times if you have cool summer, and even last year you had the totally opposite, but super hot. But when the plants cool down, they sometimes can't set fruit as well, and the plant just goes into heavy production of foliage. Mm-hmm. Number two, I would do a very low nitrogen. Now you get plenty of growth, and I do a 9-59-8. It's called root and bloom, and it would be like a dessert for tomatoes.
Yeah.
And in a short period of time, you might see some better production out of that. Can I ask if you could stop in sometime and bring in a pH, one from either side of the row where the tomatoes are growing?
Well, I'll try.
My curiosity might be, you might be very alkaline. I'm in your same neck of the woods, and because of the ground that's being irrigated, that water is coming out at a very high as a pH, and maybe we actually need to lower the pH. Mm-hmm. Have you mulched the tomatoes so the ground is cool? So when you're watering, Larry, there's no splash, and so whether it be lawn clippings or something underneath the tomatoes might be a suggestion too.
No, I didn't do any of that. I got some fertilizer from one of the local stores. And it's supposed to be cow manure and I don't know what else and stuff.
Cow manure is good for starting. Any cow, sheep, horse, something that's eating green, that's good for a tomato. But that's getting it started. That's a higher nitrogen. That gets them kicking off. But later on, you almost want to convert that and not get the nitrogen and get something that would be a higher phosphorus that would produce bud and flower and fruit development.
Okay, Andy, I'll try to get some of that over.
Yeah, bring a cup full, bring it 2 inches below the ground level, throw it in a sandwich bag, mark it, and stop in. We'll do a free soil test for you.
That's the digging up the dirt, you said.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
All right, Jim.
Thank you.
We'll see you soon.
All right, thanks for the call, Jim. Now we're going to get out to Tom in Sturgis, going south. Good morning, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Boy, what a bright, sunny day it is today.
Thank you. It is gorgeous.
I've got several fruit trees. They were here on the property when we moved in. A lot of apple trees.
Yes,
and they're just loaded this year. They're breaking the limbs off.
They are.
Wondered, what's a good way to tell when they're actually ripe or when they're ready so I can do some canning, some apple sauce and apple pie slices and things to can up. Now, the sweet ones, you taste them, they're sweet. They got some sour, and I'm just not sure when they're mature enough, ripe enough that I can use them or should use them.
Yep, that's okay. And you're right. A taste test is very easy to tell, obviously, on the sweet ones. You bite it in, you're like, wow, it's not ready. Wait a couple more weeks. I think a lot of time is when you are harvesting, Tom, when you see that you can twist that, it's almost like a watermelon or a pumpkin. When you can turn a couple times and that plant wants to snap that fruit off and release that stem, the maturity has maxed out in that fruit. You know, sometimes you take an apple and twist, and that stem won't come off. And a lot of times that plant is not releasing because the energy is not done.
Oh, okay.
So my thoughts are, if there's different varieties in the yard, which it sounds like there is, I have the same thing. I know one of them is got to be within a few days of being ready, it both heads out of the bigger fruit trees have snapped also at my house, and I took a bunch of the little babies off a couple weeks ago just making sure they wouldn't break, and they both broke. And so my thoughts are, when that stem wants to release that fruit, I bet you'll see more of a – whether it's a tart apple or a sweet apple, you'll see that wanting to be at a mature size for harvest.
Okay. All right. So when they break off a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I read somewhere where you look at the apple seed, and when they turn brown, it said that was right. But I don't know if that's true in all species.
Oh, yeah. You know, in the summertime, that's another good point. We were looking even where a apple in the summer is going to have just a green seed to it. Yeah, definitely right now you'll see where a lot of that seed is starting to mature, also in the size of it probably too, Tom. You'll see that seed inside being of a good size. You'll think that's probably in a mature state also.
Okay.
You got to figure, like when you bump a peach tree, And yeah. And a couple of weeks ago, I wouldn't even get, the peaches weren't even falling off the ground. I come out there a few days later, peaches all over the ground. I touched the tree just to try to grab the peaches. They start falling off. That's at a point where you just almost know they're releasing. Start going into the tree, picking. There's certain peaches wouldn't even pull off. We'll wait for next week. I harvested twice or three times almost. And I shouldn't say me, our whole family. So that's what I'd probably look at on the apples, Tom. And we might have lost them, too.
Yeah, kind of looks that. All right, well, let's go to...
just trying to help with Tom if he wants to call back on the apples.
Let's go to Mike in Vicksburg. Mike, you're on the air.
Mike, how are you?
Good, and yourself?
You know what? We can't be better on a nice day like this.
True. It's
got it.
God made a nice morning. What can I be of help with?
Well, I got a question on cucumbers. My straight eight plants... they started to blossom quite a bit earlier, and then they turned the whole row turned yellow, and they just died off. I don't know if it's a worm or something in the ground or what, but it kind of did the same thing last year, only the plants and pickles got much more mature. This year, they never even hardly made, I've got about 3 or 4 cucumbers off in a 40-foot row.
Okay. So I want to back up a little bit. Tell me how the foliage looked first on that cucumber before it. There was no powderiness to it. There was no.
No, it looked real good. It surprised me because all of a sudden, just overnight, it just started turning yellow.
Yeah,
and it started on one end of the row and just kind of went up the whole row.
Okay, then Mike, I almost guarantee it's bore in your stem.
That's what I'm kind of wondering.
So. Here's what you need to do. When you see that starting to happen, back up on the stem itself. Go down into that. When you see points where it's been almost that stem's been jabbed in, you'll see brownness to that where that's cut in. Take that knife and slice sideways. Yes, you're going to ruin that part of the stem, but let's see if you can see some evidence in there of some stem bore in there. You can go ahead.
How do you treat that?
Yep, you can do that with a... their systemic insecticide that will work for broad spectrum at the store that is good for fruits and vegetables.
Okay.
But is there a chance that possibly was there over – I know cukes love heavy watering. Was there a water situation this where it got over or under? Sometimes cucumbers hate to be in a midpoint where they've gotten to the extremes, too dry or too wet, and sometimes they don't kick back off either.
Well, I can't really answer that. I do water it, but it's with there's a creek right nearby that I use to water with, so it's not hard water or anything. Well, I shouldn't say that. I guess I never had it tested, but, I use that to water with, and I just... water a couple times a week, normally the whole garden.
Yeah, and you might, just a couple callers back, you might stop in. It's hard to test the water, but we could test your soil, Mike. You could find out just by chance where that pH stands. A lot of times you can put food on a plant all day long, but if the pH is too high, everything locks in. There's nothing you can do. You get that pH drop. But I would look at the stem bore first thing. I would think that the second thing, if we don't find stem activity in the bore, then I'd look at either crown rot or the difference in watering, too wet or too dry.
Okay, very good.
Thank you. Good luck.
Okay, thank you very much. And we have another call coming up here. But first, we're going to take a little break, and we will come right back with more of Over the Garden Fence with your host, Andy Waddell, on 590 WKZO.
I'll bet you've noticed some of the beautiful garden walls and walkways around town. Many of these eye-catching walls, patios, columns, paths, and steps are built with Atlas Block from Waddell's Garden Center. Atlas Block is the homeowner-friendly block system that you can use to build perennial beds, grill surrounds, patios, garden walls, and beautiful walkways. This week, all Atlas Block in stock at Waddell's is 25% off. Atlas Block pavers come in 3 different sizes and 6 different colors, giving you an endless number of ways to get the unique look you want. You could even build double-sided walls that would make a great privacy wall or an outdoor kitchen area. There are many wall and paver block ideas on display at Waddell's. You'll see how easy it is to make straight lines, curves, corners, and steps with a professional old-world look of garden accent wall blocks and Europa paver blocks, all 25% off this week. Visit with the knowledgeable people at Waddell's who can help you design your new eye-catching walkway, patio, or driveway that will be the envy of the neighborhood. Woodell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center is on Texas Drive at the corner of Millman and 12th Street.
And we are back. It is 9:38. Let's go back to the phones. We have Jerry in Plainwell. Hey, Jerry. And good morning, Jerry. How are you?
Good. Good morning. I've got some sweet cherry trees from 1 year to probably 7 years old. They had a great crop this year. And this is the first year that I've had this happen. They had a great crop of cherries. And then the leaves are all, have all fallen off all the cherry trees. Is that normal?
No, it is not. And in our crop report, Jerry, there is a premature leaf drop on sweet and sour cherries now. And what's happening is if you let the leaves drop, summer photosynthesis can't occur. Trees don't then mature good enough to where they set fruit as they go later on. Other day we were driving from Kalamazoo to Chicago, and all along the lakeshore were loads of orchards. You could just look at all the cherry trees, and you could look right through the trees. They had dropped the top 70% of the foliage was all gone. And so I would keep up, and it is an easy thing to control with a little fungicide. You could do that probably at 10 to 14 day intervals. And what's bringing it on is this early leaf drop with either excessive heat or excessive moisture. You'll get a little fungus and they'll drop. And if you can keep up with a copper or a Bordeaux or again, systemic fungicide that is good for the fruits and vegetables we sell by Fertilome, broad spectrum, you could keep up. I think some of that is after they mature, the fruit matures, Jerry, everybody kind of gives up on the tree. So then it just goes dormant, and that's what I thought for a number of years. Yeah, the plant's going dormant, drops a little early, but they drop too early, Jerry. So then you got all of September and October with no foliage.
Right.
And it's, it actually is very hard on them. And so sometimes a plant, if we get a Indian summer, re-leafs back out, and that's how that tree ends up dying. Because it leaves back out in October, flowers in November, and then winter kills. So my thoughts are is if right now, if you have a little bit of foliage left, it wouldn't be a bad idea, even though it's late in the season, to go ahead and do a spray on it. Cool days. Yep, on the foliage.
No, I don't have any. It's all gone.
Yep. Yep. So then next year, let's go ahead and look at a program. Stop in sometime. We've got it all on paper, so you can look at that program and kind of take a look at it.
Should I feed them anyways?
I would, but I wouldn't.
Them, actually.
Don't do it now. Yep.
Do it in October or late November.
Correct.
Or October, I mean.
You don't want to do any food that I would put on. I would only do foliar feeding. I'd pass on fruit trees right now.
And I was thinking if I was going to feed them, I was going to do the steaks in late October.
Mm-hmm. Late October, early November, after everything's gone dormant.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jerry. Good luck.
All right. We've just got time to squeeze in Linda and Lawrence. Good morning, Linda.
Linda.
Back.
Linda's back.
Well, quick question. I have a butterfly bush that's humongous, and I got to move it because it's too crowded with the other butterfly bushes. So when's the best time to move that big one? Because I want to get one of those small mounding ones.
Oh, yeah. Well, Linda, guess what? You're going to move it, which means what? You're going to prune it. Cut it back.
Cut it way down.
You bet. Cut it way down. You can move it very soon. You're going to see if you move it anyways, it's going to
Right now, it's beautiful.
So wait a couple weeks. Get that foliage done. Get a couple good cold nights on it. It likes to be cut back anyways, the bigger varieties. Right. So slice it back in half, move it, and then some of these new ones, Linda, they are really neat. My favorite, and as far as the flower,
I want to try that Tutti Frutti.
That Tutti Frutti is really neat. It's kind of got three or four colors of flower all on the same stem. So it's kind of like a candy, candy look.
I have two purple ones in the background, the Black Knight, and I want to put something in front of it. Well, I thought the white one was going to be small, but it's taller than the purple ones behind it. So.
Or Miss Molly. Miss Molly is like neon fuchsia pink. It's the hottest pink we've got on the market of any color. Molly.
So I wondered if I had to wait this spring or I could do it in the fall.
Ashley, you're going to mulch them anyway, so I would go ahead and mulch them. Mound them up with a half wheelbarrow load of cedar or cypress mixed in with little lawn clippings, and they'll move okay in the fall.
Alrighty.
I wouldn't do it late fall, Linda. I'd do it early fall so they can root in.
Yeah, September September and October are busy times.
Yep. Yeah. Linda, thanks for calling in.
Thanks for the call, Linda. We appreciate it. We'll be back to wrap things up in a moment.
This is the time of year that the plant doctors at Waddell's Garden Center see many samples of pesky weeds brought in. They're recommending that now's the time to knock them dead with Weed Free Zone. Fertilome Weed Free Zone's carfenazone formula will kill broadleaf weeds better than any other weed control, and it's much less expensive than other weed and grass killer brands. Waddell's carries five Weed Free Zone products, including the 8-ounce concentrate that's on sale this week for just $14.25, and the quart-size ready-to-spray Weed Free Zone bottle that attaches to the hose and covers 20,000 square feet is on sale for $38.29. For smaller jobs, get the ready-to-spray bottle on sale for just $6.19. If you need to kill all the weeds and grasses in an area, Killzall is the answer. All three sizes of Killzall are on sale at Waddell's, including the pint concentrate, for just $9.63. Don't know the best way to control your weed or insect problems? The plant doctor is always in and ready to help you. Just bring in samples to the Plant Diagnostic Center at Waddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center on Texas Drive at the corner of Milliman 12th Street.
All right, that's going to wrap it up today. Andy, good luck with your little event out there.
Hey,
perfect day for it.
Yeah, yeah. Come on over, everybody, and join on the fun and the sale and the grilling. So
sounds good.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, Andy.
Thanks for all the calls.